And good morning and welcome to City Talk today. And we've got a cast of thousands, or at least a half a dozen anyway.
Louder than a thousand.
How you doing there, Mr. Bailey?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. We got a stacked deck today, don't we?
We do. I always come with my support team. Today we've got three of the best, as they all sit there quietly, hoping that I don't call on them first. But somebody's got to be first, you know?
There you go.
Well, we had a good weekend, mm-hmm. and for the last few weeks, actually, we've had a pretty good couple of weeks, except for the rain that we had over the weekend. I don't know, Keith, did we have any reports of flooding?
No flooding that I know of. Everything went pretty good. No problems I'm aware of.
Good. Micah, did you hear anything?
Nope.
Okay. Well, yet. That's good. We're halfway through Monday morning and haven't heard any complaints, so maybe everything went well. But I know we got quite a bit of rain over the weekend. It certainly slowed down Keith's guys. They're out trying to stay caught up on mowing. And in fact, we were just talking about it. Usually by this time of year, we're about done mowing parks and right-of-ways, and it feels like we're just getting started, doesn't it, Keith?
Starting all over. I believe the guys are out the ball field this morning and said it was too wet to mow, and they couldn't even walk on the infields with dirt to it. So it's pretty soggy out there.
Yeah, pretty soggy. So, but hopefully we're reaching an end of that. And, of course, we're in September, and my gosh, we're almost done with September, and we're still having to deal with this stuff. Seems a little unusual, but neither here nor there. We'll keep mowing until the grass stops growing, which might be next year. We'll see. But also in September, of course, we have the 9/11 Memorial. And this, in Bartlesville, that is hosted at the Bartlesville Central Fire Station. It's actually put on by the firefighters. They have a color guard. It's a group of volunteers. They do a great job. This year they involved actually multiple branches of public safety. They had the police department color guard, and they also had the sheriff's department color guard, mm-hmm. Who were involved in it. And great ceremony. I would invite anybody who hasn't come or anybody who has come to join us again next year. They'll be doing this every year. It's sort of obviously a tradition now. But anyway, they do a great job with that. And up and coming, we've got Walk to School Day. I believe that is October 2nd. Now let me open up my sheet here to make sure that I get this right. I believe that is set for October 2nd. So we encourage everyone, especially elementary age kids, to walk to school that day or to walk with their parents. There will be some dignitaries and some prizes and things of that nature. It really is a very cool event. I used to participate in it a lot with my kids when they were younger. Now one of them has a driver's license, which is a whole other ball game.
Oh boy.
And a couple of other updates. The city council met, was that a week ago? Tuesday? Last Tuesday, yeah. So about a week ago, we had our council meeting on Tuesday at 5 o'clock, and there was a couple of points of that. One of them Keith's going to get to here in a little bit. We're going to talk about the solid waste survey results that we got from our consultant on that. But we also had met and talked a little bit about the Tower Center. And then the final thing that we did is to prepare for an upcoming election that we'll be having. And you'll hear a lot more about that election when we get closer. We are very early on. This will likely be for both the GO bond and for the CIP, our construction sales tax, but where we determine projects and actually have the voters vote on a sales tax. We started talking about those at a very high level just to give the council an update of where we were, when we thought we would have the election. So we're likely looking at an April election date of next year. So as I said, we're still way out, but we like to plan these far in advance. There is a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of public input that we take. So that's something that for the citizens to be watching out for. There'll be plenty of opportunities for public input. Typically that will happen at committee meetings. And then ultimately there will also be opportunities for public input at council meetings. So we would ask for our citizens to be watching for that and to certainly join us. And we also had a little bit of a discussion on the Tower Center. We will have another design review committee meeting on the Tower Center project. And that's Wednesday of this week. They'll be meeting at noon. This is an open meeting. The public is welcome to attend and encouraged to attend if you're interested in this project or you have something that you'd like to say about it. You're certainly welcome and encouraged to attend that. at this point in time, they're really kind of putting the finishing touches on the design. Obviously, it is out for construction. We've got it working. Now, as we receive donations, then this is being reported back to this group what the donations were and essentially what we've been able to add back, because we started with a design that we had to cut down in order to get it under budget, and then as these donations come in, we're able to add back to it. So we hope, we will have an announcement tomorrow about another major donation, and that will be coming out in City Beat. So this is another Tower Center donation. This will be a significant one as well. We'll announce that tomorrow in City Beat. Once we run the final traps with our donor to make sure everything's good, we'll get that together. I talk about this pretty much every time that I'm on. We talk about City Beat, but I really would encourage everybody to sign up for that. And it's really easy to sign up for. You go out to the cityofbartlesville.org website. On the right side, scroll down. There'll be a little box there for City Beat. Enter some information into a couple of boxes. Hit submit, and it'll start being delivered to your inbox every Tuesday. And so it is a great publication, great way to get information about your city so that you can keep track of everything that's going on. Excuse me. And so with that, in fact, in last week's City Beat, we talked about the solid waste survey and kind of gave the results for that. There's a lot of great information in that survey. Keith, when did we start working with our consultant on that?
I believe it was way back the first part of the year when we actually started talking with them and actually worked out contracted with the company, New Gen Strategies and Solution, to help us put together a solid waste survey that we had online for the citizens of Bartlesville to get involved with the solid waste services. A little bit of history on that. I think we talked about the council meeting last Tuesday. As you mentioned, this all got started way back in 2006. The mayor then, I believe, was Ms. Julie Daniels, and there was actually a committee created back then. It was a solid waste implementation committee, and part of their duties was to research our solid waste program, look for efficiencies, and look for needs of our citizens. And out of that came a lot of different things. Our new trash automated system, we started that in 2013 with the automated trash truck and your poly carts where they come by. One man's able to haul your trash by himself. It's more convenient, saved a lot of workers' comp claims on our part. We don't have a lot of lifting injuries and those type of things we had before. In that survey, the automation obviously was a huge thing that came out of it. But also included that was other issues such as recycling, bulky waste collection, yard waste collection. Lots of different things were brought up during that time. So following up with that, we contracted with New Gen Strategies and Solutions, as I mentioned, to do this survey. Last Tuesday night, they did come before the council and did a presentation of Mr. Dave Yonke with the company, a very knowledgeable individual. Has a lot of information and shared it with us. I think everybody learned a lot there. He presented the survey and did some recommendations of what they felt like were things we could follow or take into consideration for the council. We had 2,200 people that actually took the survey online. He was very happy with the turnout. I think as he said in surveys go, he said that's a really good portion. I think 12% of the population.
Pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive, yeah. The, of course, one of the huge things with it was recycling was one of the key aspects of the survey. And in general, I think there was 1,100 or 1,200 people that, are in favor of currently use our recycling. And we say right now what we have in recycling is we have a drop-off center that's located at 10th and Virginia. We've had that facility, I believe, since 2009. A little history on the recycling. The city got involved in that way back in 2001, I believe, to 2004. We actually had a little curbside program where, if you remember, maybe the little blue containers that everybody had one.
Still all over town.
I believe Phillips Petroleum back in the day may have made those for us, if I'm thinking right.
May have.
And so everybody was issued one. The program was utilized fairly well. I will say it was very overwhelming for the city the employees went. We didn't hire any additional employees. We took it all into the solid waste as an extra duty. Short story, it became very overwhelming. At one time, I remember, I wasn't even involved in the sanitation, but the whole city of Bartlesville was out picking up recycling at one time. So we did that for 3 or 4 years, and the program eventually dissolved.
We were poorly prepared to launch that recycling program.
We were.
That was before you were here, but you weren't in the position you're in, and that was, I don't think any of the rest of us were even employed by the city at that point in time.
That's correct. So employability, after the curbside program went through, employability back in 2008 kind of took over what the recycling program was then. And to my knowledge, I think it was just a drop-off site at their facility. And
Blade,
they ran
right.
it for a few years, or actually maybe a year, and started having problems financially again, not being able to support the program. So in 2009, the city opened up their drop-off site that we have today. Originally, we started it over on the east side of town. You might remember that at Sooner Park.
It was in Sooner Park, yep.
It was.
At the old tennis courts up on top of the hill.
And we were there for a while, I don't remember, a year or so, and some issues arose. So we moved it to the west side of town at some property that we had that worked out really well for it. It was already a fenced-off property.
Yep.
And it currently is at that location at 10th and Virginia.
And so for anybody who is looking for that, if you are on Adams, you're going to turn south on Virginia, and then it'll be, second left probably right there?
There's a couple blocks, there's a sign out there on the road.
And we've talked about it. We're going to identify some areas where we could probably increase signage after we got the results and had heard that it wasn't. We assumed that everybody knew about it, and when we got the results back and realized that not everybody knew about the drop-off site. So we'll be spreading the word a little bit on that and kind of trying to make sure that everybody does know where that site is going forward.
Right. And so with the survey that we had, Mr. Yonke, you know, he gives a lot of facts and presented the council with the report. Recycling, you know, he put some numbers out there as far as actually implementing a curbside program. City of Tulsa currently runs a program that, and they call it mandatory recycling. And what that means is everybody's paying for it.
That's right.
Everybody doesn't necessarily participate.
You can use it or not, but you got to pay for it.
That's right. So he did some numbers, and I think what he put out to the council was an increase of $4 to $3.50, depending on whether we did once a week or twice a week collection.
I think it was $3.50 to $4.50 was the range that he had put on the survey.
Right. So he throwed out a lot of options and ideas. He did mention at the time, but that the recycling market is very poor right now. And I can testify to that with the current program that we do run. City of Bartlesville does not make money. We lose money in that program. We haul those containers and those materials down to Tulsa to a MRF down there, which is actually, it's not the MRF, it's TRT, which is a recycling center, it's privately owned. And they handle the materials for us. I will tell you, most of the time, there's not even a market for the materials. They will take the materials and they do process them, but a lot of times we don't receive any payment for the goods.
That's right. So a lot of the things that we collect at our recycling center, as you said, they're still being recycled.
Right.
But we're not being paid for those materials.
That's correct. Last year, I believe my guys hauled 600-plus loads of materials to Tulsa, so very time-consuming. And, you know, you add all the labor and the truck costs up, and that's where you get to primarily all your expenses. So we do currently still have that program working, and to my knowledge, we're going to continue that. Again, the survey, there was lots of recommendations. Recycling, bulky waste collection was talked about, different ways that could be handled. And all these things were just given up to the council for thought. I think they're going to take them into consideration over the next year and find some direction maybe they'd like to go. And then if there is, which kind of funding mechanisms they'd like to do those projects with. So it was a very good report. We was very happy with them, and I think we got a lot of good information out of it.
Now some of the more interesting statistics in there, Keith, what was the percentage of people who were interested in a curbside recycling program out of all the respondents? Was it 72%?
Maybe even more. I want to say it was 80-something.
70.
I've got those numbers
there you go.
Here.
You got the whole hardbound book. I didn't even bring mine. I really should have.
Yeah, it was, I want to say it was 80-some percent that was actually interested in the recycling curbside program. And then, of course, as we started talking about money, sometimes the percentage went down.
Well,
so
and that was
to pay for it.
That was kind of the interesting distinction was how many people were interested in curbside recycling versus how many people were interested in paying for curbside recycling. Of course, that's as a city, we don't have any money that doesn't come from our taxpayers or our customers. So, and that's the only way that we can make this work. Of course,
I believe it's I think it was around 80%. I'm not finding the number right in front of me, but it was somewhere close to that. So a lot of people very interested in the program.
Yeah, it was that was one of our telltale items. And I'm trying to find the we've got our report here as we're thumbing through it. I know this is exciting radio when you've got two guys thumbing through a report, but there we go. So you'd think there'd be a percentage in there.
Some of the other programs that we did have that's utilized a lot is our yard waste cleanup and our coupon program that we have within the city. Most people are familiar with that. Usually in your water bill, you should have received a coupon. We're just doing those annually now. You get it at the first of the year. Normally, it's good for the whole year. It's one coupon. You can go out to the city, to the landfill, which is privately owned. The city does not own the landfill. But if you take that coupon with you and your water bill or something to verify your account, you can take a pickup load or a trailer load combination out there. Residential customers, and that's a program that's been well utilized in the past. Our yard waste programs we offer in the spring and in the fall. If you're familiar with the sticker program we have, you've got extra yard waste during the year and you want to put a bag of grass out, cost you $1, you can stick that bag out on the curb. During our free programs in the spring and in the fall, we don't limit that. You can put all the bags you want out, bag it up, and bundles of sticks can also be placed out there. So if you've got a little yard debris, a tree limb that's fallen down, you cut those up into 4-foot lengths and bundle them up where they're no more than 50 pounds. Put those out there again during that time period. No sticker is required. In the other part of the year, if you do have those programs or those items out there for that, you can go to Quick Trip or City Hall and purchase the stickers. And for $1, you can put a bundle of limbs or a bag of yard waste out there. And there is stickers also, as I mentioned earlier, is for just household debris. And they are a little more expensive. I believe they're $2.50 for one of those stickers. But if you've got an extra bag of trash that you need to stick out there, you won't go in your poly cart, and you can purchase those also.
Okay, Keith, I found the part that we were talking about, and it was actually 75% of the respondents said that they were interested in a curbside recycling program, which was that was really one of the things that we were the most interested in, is what was the demand for curbside recycling. But the second question in that series was just as important, and it was how many people were willing to pay for it. And once we did that, it fell from that 75%, and it actually fell down to about 52 to 53% of people were willing to pay for it. So then that's really the question that will go back to council, and we'll circle back on this as we approach the budget, because that's when we set our rates and determine service levels. That really is the question for them, is that we do have a significant portion of the population that wants recycling, but there is a very sharp decline then when you start talking about how many people are willing to pay for that program. And, of course, we don't, again, the city has no money that doesn't come from its customers or taxpayers. And so unless the taxpayers are willing to pay for it or the customers are willing to pay for it, then we don't have any way to offer the service. So that will be an interesting debate as we approach the budget, and probably will be one of the most interesting things to come out of this report. The rest of it was, I think it really supported a lot of stuff that we knew already. We have a couple of very popular programs, and one of them is our voucher program is very popular, and then our free yard waste event is probably the other thing that's the most popular that we do. And all of these were designed to make sure that, in spite of the fact that we limit you to a poly cart, we wanted to make sure that we could pick up every bit of trash that you have, you know, no matter what it is, or that you have some way to dispose of that. And in fact, Keith, I think we've got coming up, we've got a free yard waste event, I think, that you had just announced last week, or it's coming out today or something.
Miss Kelly Williams probably has it out there in the city beat already, or getting ready to come out to post it on our website also, I'm sure. It'll be December the 9th through the 13th. We'll have a free leaf and grass collection. And again, as I mentioned, you can put your limbs out there if you bundle them up. So that's going to be on your normal trash collection day. So if your trash is normally picked up on Monday, put your limbs in your extra grass bags out there. We'll not require a sticker at that time. And again, those dates are December the 9th through the 13th on your normal trash collection day.
No limit to the amount that they can put out during these events, is there?
No limit that you can put out. The grass can be in bags that are clear colored. It doesn't matter. And again, make sure the limbs are bundled up. And no limit on those things. And keep in mind, but no trash. It is just yard waste only. It's not for household trash, so it is just for yard waste. And the guys will come by. And more likely than not, it will not be your automated truck that picks those up. You know, if there's just one bag there, he may get out and load it.
Right.
But if it's a location where you've got out several bags, there will be a second truck come by, and those guys will get out and load that stuff up for you.
So if they don't catch it when your normal truck comes around, don't worry. We're coming by later that day.
We'll be by later.
we'll if we don't have it by the end of the day, feel free to call us, but don't panic first thing in the morning. So, well, I appreciate it, Keith. I know this has been an interesting survey for you and I to go through, and we'll continue to parse and hash the results as we approach the budget with the council. All right, and next we have Mr. Micah Seemers is up.
Good morning.
One of the other items that we had on the council agenda was talk about Price Fields, which was, I think this is a GO bond project from our most recent GO election.
Yep.
We had gone through the design and engineering phase of this and had actually put it out for bids. And last night we introduced the council to the results of that, and it was not quite what we'd hoped.
Not what we'd hoped, yeah. We're just under $500,000 over budget on the bids. So.
And the project itself, we have about 3.1, 3.2 total construction.
We had 3.6 total, and then we spent obviously a portion of that on the design.
Right.
And so we had about 3.36 left for construction.
So
we're about 3.8 range.
So on a $3.36 million budget, we're $500,000 over.
That's correct.
Pretty significant.
It's pretty significant, yeah. It's
that's not something we could just negotiate out or cover from
right.
other sources. So
right.
we sent us back to the drawing board a little bit.
It did. So so Tuesday night we did council rejected bids on that. We had three bids on that project. And two of them were in the ballpark. I think they're only about $12,000 difference between.
They were pretty close.
And the other guy was an outlier out there. So, but yeah, we are going to rebid this project. We've gone back to the drawing board on a few items. We've incorporated some feedback from the two low bidders, or two lowest bidders, if you will. I say two low bidders.
Well,
I mean, they're just almost the same. We're talking $11,000 on a $3.8 million project. So. So we've been getting some feedback from them on how we can value engineer this project, you know, why a few things were high.
Right.
There were actually a couple items that were just
shockingly high
compared to what we expected. You know, I feel like the consultant had pretty good numbers on that stuff for our estimate, and building.
Yeah, it fell in range with our experiences. But
correct.
For
and
whatever
so,
reason,
you know,
not this time.
60 by 40 steel building that just came through the roof. And so we're working with them on how we can whittle that back and why that was so high. And they've given us some good feedback on that. Roofs being one of the things, you know, architectural standing seam roof. We're going to go with something a bit more simple than that. And so there's some things that we can cut. There's some low-hanging fruit we can just knock off right off the bat. But there's some other things that we're going to have to tweak and modify as far as, you know, the design of some of the roof structures for the concession stands. The earthwork, I actually talked to a contractor today that bid the earthwork portion of it, and there's some things that we need to take out of the language on the geotech report as far as some undercutting and whatnot under the ball fields that we can reduce some costs there. So there's ways we can get some savings. We're going to value engineer this and rebid it, and hopefully we'll award bids November 4th, I believe, with that first council meeting in November.
So that's,
the target.
That's our next
that's
step then, of course, be November 4th.
That is the target, so we'll need to get that advertised for bidding in the next couple weeks, so we can receive bids in time to get it awarded at that meeting, assuming everything goes well.
So for all those baseball parents out there, what's this construction schedule look like now, Micah?
Well, so what this does, I think we'll still likely, so bottom line is they weren't going to have the fields next spring anyway, and the league is aware of that, the user groups are aware of that, the YMCA for scheduling. So the fields were not going to be ready for the spring baseball.
The scope
anyway.
Of this project was too much to where we could have it complete in the spring anyway.
It's a larger project than we've done on the first two phases.
Right.
You know, when you factor in the building aspect of it and some of the items that we're constructing there, they're larger fields. So there's just a lot more work to it. And so we had planned on not having the fields available next spring. They were going to be open for next fall. I think we can still try to attain that, but there is a possibility that we may overlap into next fall baseball season. But again, the spring is the primary time anyway. If they can make it work in the spring, they can surely make it work in the fall with a reduced number of players and games. So so that is the goal that we'll get under construction then hopefully this winter and wrap things up hopefully late next summer.
And, of course, a majority of this is grass, dirt and grass.
It is dirt grass.
Bermuda grows best in the summer, so
it does.
It would have been almost impossible to have it ready for the spring.
And that is a large
even under the best circumstances.
Even on the previous two phases, we really tried to have things done and ready so they could open up and play in the spring. And you know, it just getting that sod established just kept dragging on. And it really and truly on those first two phases, we only had it open for a portion of the season during those projects as well. So it's just tough, you know, when you're working with the grass to try to get it established in the wintertime is, you know. pretty much impossible. So.
And of course, this will be taken out of service the what used to be the nicest area of the fields. However,
right.
Now we've established the two quads to the north that are now the nicer fields. So
correct.
Hopefully, everything will be well. I know it'll all be able to be worked out.
It'll all work out. It's just we've got a minor hurdle we got to get over here, and we'll get through it. And
it will certainly be worth it in the future.
That's right. It'll be nice. Again, like you said, the fields down the hill, we've got three larger fields down the hill that were not part of this project, and those are really in pretty good shape. And so we had replaced. I mean, this is the last.
Yeah.
This is really the last fields that were replacing that really, really needed
that's
it,
right.
if you will. So
that's right. These are
more than the others.
It will be a great facility once right. we complete this. It'll also help with the traffic flow and the parking and
correct.
And all of that. So I really am excited about it. And,
good project.
We're going to get it underway one way or the other.
We'll get there. We're going to get there.
We always do.
We're going to get there.
Well, Micah, do you have
to cut too much.
You have any major projects you want to throw out there? And
well,
you got
a couple big ones.
It's the 2 minute. You got the two minute project update.
Okay, 2 minute project update. We have the downtown storm sewer project. We're actually opening bids on that today at 2:00, and so we'd like to get that under construction. Of course, city crews have already done a portion of it that
right.
corresponded with the tower center project. And we're going to pick up the rest of that, go another block and a half north up to between 4th Street and Frank Phillips, if you will, along Osage. And then we'll tie up some work on Adams Boulevard there where they tied in by the community center parking lot. So that project opens today for bids. We'll get under construction again here in the next, let's call it month and a half, 2 months, if everything goes well. Barlow is under construction currently. It's a concrete rehab project. It's about a $450,000 project we got going right now. Frank Phillips is another new one that we've got. We should award that on October 7th. We have open bids on that. It actually came in under budget, which is nice. It's a mill and overland Frank Phillips between essentially the railroad tracks and Sunset, so Keeler
yep.
and Sunset.
Be a continuation of the project that we previously did.
Correct, yeah. We did the portion through downtown. Oh, gosh, it's been about 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
I think we wrapped that up. So we're continuing on that. Take that on out to Sunset. So we've got that awarding on October 7th, and so we'll get construction going on that this fall. And hopefully have that wrapped up probably sometime first quarter next year, assuming weather goes well. And then we got...
Assuming weather goes well.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to throw that out there, right?
Yes.
got to throw that out there. But, man, we've got a whole slew of projects that we're trying to get coordinated for, get out for construction under design currently. So, you know, just keep your eyes peeled. They'll be coming out. We've got Woodland coming up. We've got... it's a concrete rehab there. Between 75 and Oakdale, working on design for that. We've got a handful of Pathfinder projects we're currently designing. Bank stabilization there along the Caney River.
Right. So for all the runners that are frustrated, we are too, and
we'll
have
on
a temporary
that.
Path open as quickly as we
you
can.
You know what? There actually is. Someone went in there and put one in there.
Oh.
I accused Keith of doing
that's
it.
What
he denied it.
I'm accusing Mr. Bailey,
so there is
well,
a
we're all surprised.
There's a temporary trail open, and we're not sure he did it. So
okay, well.
Appreciate that, whoever did that for us.
All right.
But we're actually just about to do that. So
well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. And the last minute, 2 minutes of the program belongs to our finance director, Jason Munninger, and he's got a quick sales tax update.
Yeah, we'll make
for
this
us.
Quick. Good month for sales tax. As you know, we were down. First actual decrease
right.
we've had in a number of years
about,
last month.
About 15, 16 months, something like
yeah,
that. We've
had
good straight increases year over year.
Good head of steam going into that month. It was down a little bit, but this month has been shockingly high. Dollar for dollar was 6.5% over this period last month, about 101,000. And we factor in our adjustment for the TIF district that's, you know, we
yeah.
promised some of our sales tax away. Given that the amount that we have to withhold from that goes down every year, we are now at a little under 109,000, so roughly 7% over this period.
Year over year just for
yeah.
this month. So how's our year-to-date look on the...
Year-to-date, we're just
the
a little under
months.
2.5%
okay.
up
so,
on the
okay.
year. So
we're
currently about $110,000 above where we'd budgeted.
Well, we'd actually budgeted, so. And of course, we've budgeted very conservatively.
We do.
Yeah, so that's the good news is that it has been a very conservative budget, and we're pretty excited
pretty
that we've
maintain this momentum.
Yeah, makes our jobs a whole lot easier when we've got more than
when
what
we
was
have
anticipated
to do what everyone expects us to do.
That's right. Makes things a whole lot easier. Well, I appreciate that, and I know you've been busy on some other projects, and we're starting to wrap up the finance implementation, and And hopefully one of the things that we promised as we went through this software conversion was outward facing for our citizens, and we're getting really close on those now.
Looking for a January date to kind of get that kicked off.
The people
that's
will be
tentative date, but that's what we're looking at.
All right. So we're approaching the time when the citizens will actually be able to see what we've been working on behind the scenes. So.
All right, and that's all we got time for today, guys. Thank you.
What does your homeowner's insurance cover? Call Phoenix Insurance for a quote at 918-336-5460.